Allon më vruatër kam jollë këndal Qire vuren atar një fua Në kallës kja unuje Aqjum da yesachine esia ne ku kavas kaunu
Well, I have, folks. Thursday night, midnight GMT, 7 o'clock EST, 21st Century Jacobite, Graham Sutherland here. Hi. Lots to talk about. Don't know if we're going to... I don't have enough time to get everything into the show. Lots of stuff been happening, lots of stuff breaking. It seems that the truth is just bubbling to the surface, despite an awful lot of people trying to keep it down. It's quite amazing. It's quite interesting to watch. Really interesting to see Republicans in America flip-flopping all over the place. Divided loyalties between the party politics and the Constitution. That's what we're seeing. But as the scale of this thing becomes more and more apparent when people realize just, you know, how big and how widespread and how crazy the voter fraud is. There's all sorts of people putting their politics to one side, really, and realizing it's the whole fabric of the whole Constitution it's at stake, and not just party politics. And indeed, the world is watching. The whole world is watching. And it would appear that this has happened before. In fact, it's obvious it's happened before. They tried it the last time, and one of the reasons they were so surprised, I remember Hillary almost collapsing with surprise that they had lost despite their best efforts to hijack the whole voting system with fraudulent votes using their dodgy voting machines. We now know that the voting machines are rigged. There's clear evidence of that, and they even know the programs that's involved. That would be a hammer and a scorecard, one of which just basically flips the votes from one side to the other. Scorecard is quite clever. It monitors the votes coming in, and they basically just keep slightly ahead by changing just enough votes. Because the problem is, they went and shot themselves in the foot here, really, because they've changed so many votes that there's over 100% voter turnout in some states, and that's statistically absolutely impossible. Absolutely impossible. Especially when you're really looking at a high voter turnout being between 40 and 55%. To suddenly jump up to 111%, I mean, it's just absolutely screams fraud. There's no question about it. It's statistically impossible. So the whole edifice is crumbling. The whole thing is just basically imploding, and it needs to. They need to basically rip it up and start again. It's not, it's just not viable. And then you've got the fiasco of mail-in voting ballots. They were deemed unreliable and open to fraud years ago, and that's exactly what they've done. I mean, they can one vote can be swiped three or four times, for instance, and as soon as it's open, as soon as it's free, of the envelope it came in, there's absolutely no proof whether it was a certified vote or, you know, a legal vote or an illegal vote. So the mail-in voting ballot system is nonsense. And this machines, the voting machines, it would appear that they have been used fraudulently in a lot of different countries. The thing that actually blew me away was the fact that the votes were actually being, the votes for the U.S. election were actually being sent to Germany and Spain to be counted. I mean, what is that all about? I had to double check that. I couldn't actually get my head around it. The U.S. election votes are being counted in Germany. Wow. It just, it kind of blows you away. I mean, what the hell is that all about? And what does Spain have to do with it? I mean, why are they involved in the U.S. election? It's just absolutely crazy. Absolutely crazy. So software developers have come forward and said, yes, we were responsible for developing the software for those machines, and we basically put Trojans in them. We've put back doors in them. And anyone who knows about software can go in there and basically hijack the whole system and monitor the system for votes and make sure that just enough are flipped from blue to red or red to blue. So, you know, it doesn't look too obvious. It doesn't look like there's a huge margin. But the way they did it, I mean, this is the software developers coming across now. I mean, it just seems that everyone's been sickened by the level of duplicity and deception that's been involved here. It just seems that people are basically being driven by their conscience just to come forward and just confess and just tell the truth. So they've got hundreds of affidavits, hundreds of them in every state, of bipartisan people coming forward and saying, yes, it was rigged. It was rigged from the beginning. And I witnessed it. I seen it. And I'm willing to, you know, put my name on an affidavit and go forward and stand up in court if necessary and testify to this effect. Hundreds of them. Now, the media, the Masonic media, is still trying to claim that there's no real evidence of fraudulent voting, which is absolute nonsense. It's just an absolute joke. There is mountains of evidence and thousands of affidavits from very credible people. And I mean, the fact, putting all that aside for just a moment, I mean, the very fact that in at least five states, they wouldn't allow Republicans into the voting stations to actually view the polling. They wouldn't let them in. And in one case, they did let them in, but they wouldn't let them within 30 feet of the machines. Well, the counting machines, which is just absolutely ridiculous. It's obvious. I mean, if they're going to go to that extreme, it's obvious they've got stuff to hide. It's absolutely obvious. And it's like, it's an admission of guilt. That's what it is. It's an admission of guilt. If you can't have transparency when it comes to voting, then you've got something to hide. Obviously, you've got something to hide. And if you've obviously got something to hide, there's fraud going on. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to work that out. It's absolutely obvious. So the whole thing, right across the board, the whole thing, well, I mean, they'll need a recount in every state. That's the way it's going. It's the only way forward. They'll need to do that. I mean, even in the states they've looked into and you know, did a little bit of investigation and did some recounting and looked at the rejected ballots and the ones that were, dates were changed on them. When they looked at all these different factors in all five states in question, the so-called swing states, And in each case, Trump, using the legal votes, is won by a landslide. So the election was stolen. It was stolen. And it was stolen in such an obvious and overt, in-your-face way. It's ended up just, I mean, it's just made the whole, it's just made a mess of the whole thing. It's just made a, it's embarrassing. It's made such a huge mess of the whole, you know, voting process. It is so riddled with, you know, potential for fraud, really. The whole thing's just collapsed. It's imploded in the most spectacular way. The media handling of the situation is something I found quite intriguing. They're actually like, I mean, the media needs to be called out. The media needs to be seriously called out on this because they're not telling the truth. They're actually covering up deception, and they know they're covering up deception. It's quite obvious. And they must realize that they are aiding and abetting liars and cheats, because that's exactly what the media is doing. They're aiding and abetting liars and cheats and thieves because they've stolen the whole election. And even when affidavits and solid proof are coming to the surface, software developers, you know, giving statements, all of this going on, the media was still trying to pretend that there was no evidence. And I mean, the evidence is so overwhelming. If they start digging into it, you know, they'll just get swept away with a tidal wave of evidence. The evidence is just, you know, I mean, it's just ridiculous the amount of evidence there is. And as I say, even Republicans have came forward and said, look, listen, I really wanted the Democrats to win. And, you know, I've been a Democrat where my family's been Democrats for four generations or whatever. But what I witnessed was just, you know, barefaced fraud, and I can't live with it. I've got to say something. I've got to come forward. I've got to say something. So you've got that. You've got that as well, which just, you know, just gives it even more credibility. And also there was people hired to basically go round old people's houses. These old people have terrified to staying indoors, ask them if they've still got their polling cards, and they were actually saying to them, can we just help you to fill that in? In other words, can we vote on your behalf? They were trying to pretend they were helping these old people because they wouldn't get to the polling station because they were too terrified due to the media hysteria for COVID-19. They're just utter media nonsense. It's got a lot of old people close to nervous breakdowns. So there was teams of people going from door to door and asking them if they still had their ballot cards, and you know, assuring them they would vote the way they wanted them to vote, and then, you know, just skipping away with the blank ballot cards. It's unbelievable. And in some cases, they were actually bribed. They said to them, look, listen, if you leave it blank, we'll give you $100 for the trouble. So they're actually bribing them not to fill in their ballot cards, which is another, you know, just barefaced fraud. So a lot of old people came forward and said this. A lot of older people said, look, we don't know. We just trusted that they would vote the way we wanted them to vote. We've always voted Democrat, and we just assumed they would vote Democrat on our behalf, so we trusted them. And, you know, now that they've had a chance to think about it, to realising how ridiculous and naive they had been. The scale of the voter fraud has caught an awful lot of people by surprise, basically. That's what's happened. I mean, there was still a lot of older people, a lot of folk that are maybe not particularly internet savvy or whatever. There's a lot of these older people still believe in, you know, that the U.S. is based in honesty and truth and traditional values and all that. But even they, in the face of this scam, this voter scam. Even they're starting to waken up and think, wait a minute, we've been duped. We've been seriously duped. So, yeah, there's a whole range of different ways that have come to light where the system is flawed and open to abuse. They just didn't realise, or no one really realised, that, you know, it was in such an industrial scale. Thousands of votes as well being found in dumpsters. That was another thing. And other votes being altered. And it would appear that some of them were actually being altered in the polling stations. Now, there's certain places like Philadelphia who have got a reputation for being dodgy, a reputation for, you know, for being, duplicit. So in these places, the voter irregularities are so obvious. I mean, even a blind man could see that, you know, the whole thing was just hijacked. It's just like, absolutely, they've overplayed their hand, basically. That's what they've done. They've just overplayed their hand. They've tried too hard, if you like. And it's basically just blown up in their face. Now, the difficulty is, though, in a lot of these states where the senators are third or fourth generation Democrats, the trouble is they've got judges in their state. They've appointed judges in their state that are basically puppets. They basically do what they're told. And they've already tried to reject the legal action, the challenge to the voting system. They've already tried to reject that. So they're going to have to go above them. They're going to have to go above the state judges, the state attorneys or whatever. It's the only thing they can do. They're going to have to go above and beyond these people. Because it's not, they're going to stifle it, aren't they? Of course, they're going to stifle it. They're going to stifle the truth. It's all about kickbacks and backhanders and, you know, helping each other on and everything. I watched a documentary last night. I couldn't believe it. It was by this organization called Transparency or something. And they were basically just looking into, spending by the political elite, spending, because there was billions being wasted and they had no idea, like, you know, it was just so much money. And the budgets go up every year automatically. The budgets go up regardless of what the economy is doing. Their budgets go up every year. And they found out, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. They were spending millions on artworks. Artworks. Unbelievable. And tens of thousands of pounds on designer spectacle frames and things like that. You know, just, there was another one where they spent millions in one tax year on, I couldn't believe it, langoustines, prawns, prawn tails, or whatever you call it. They spent millions of taxpayers' money on this kind of stuff. And in another instance, they had been they'd been buying chairs, padded chairs, for other politicians, basically, to sit on at 22 grand each. 22,000 for a chair. It's just, you know, the politics in America has just got so utterly corrupt. It's like, you know, they need to just destroy it completely. It needs a complete reset. It's an embarrassment.
imagine spending that sort of money on artworks to hang in committee room walls, and there's people sleeping on the streets. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. And I mean, I've only scratched the surface. There was loads, there was millions, billions, in fact, there was billions being spent on absolute rubbish, just garbage.
I really couldn't believe what I was hearing. You know, there was just a, it was just a list of, you know, waste after waste after waste, all that money. So even entertainment is spending millions on entertainment. Just absolutely crazy. Absolutely crazy. And of course, I mean, they've got these huge budgets, but they're all in debt. It's like they just can't spend enough money. They just can't spend enough money. It's unbelievable. I just like, whoa. I couldn't believe it. And loads of exotic food, all sorts of different exotic foods, so-called luxury items and stuff, or luxury foods, that most of which just gets dumped anyway. And I mean, these are democratic states. And these are the very states that have got the worst homeless problems, and they've actually got the worst attitude to veterans. We've got absolute, what would you call it, disdain for veterans. They've got no respect for them at all. Even older veterans that survived the Second World War, you know, they're treated like dirt. They really are. In these states. So there really does need to be a complete reset. Come on, it's just, it really is embarrassing how extreme things have got. It really is. It's absolutely embarrassing. I mean, they don't, I was listening to a talk by Rudy Giuliani today. You probably heard it yourself. It was actually the first proper public statement they had made. And the press were notably silenced and chastised. They were being chastised by Giuliani and some of his other team for just being so utterly corrupt. And they were being corrupt in as much as they were hiding corruption, and they were covering up for corruption, and they were called out for it. They were called out for it. They were called fake news because, well, that's what they are. That's exactly what they are. It was quite beautiful to see. And Giuliani actually challenged them and says, "You go back and report the truth for once. Try and support the U.S. Constitution instead of playing party politics all the time and, you know, covering up for obvious fraudsters and liars. You're not doing your job. You know, you've all sold out." It was brilliant. It was absolutely brilliant. He just, he nailed it. Absolutely nailed it. So it'll be very, very interesting to see. In fact, some of them have actually just, you know, they basically just said, yeah, okay, you know, hold our hands up to it. We'll just hold our hands up to it. You know, we've been caught. We've basically been caught. And the media, of course, have just made an absolute fool of themselves as well for calling the election, or thinking they could, you know, call the election before it had been properly counted and before it had been properly scrutinized. Because as I say, the level of fraudulent votes and fake votes and tampered votes and stuff, we're talking about millions of votes. Millions of votes. I mean, it's quite obvious that one of the reasons that Biden didn't campaign that strongly was because he knew he was going to win anyway, because he had all the, you know, all the voting machines and everything rigged. It's quite obvious that's what the thing was. That was his thinking. Quite obvious. He didn't think there was much point in, you know, rushing around all over the country, standing, getting heckled and everything, when in actual fact he would win anyway, because he knew that he had so many of them in his pocket and so many of them were already compromised. That's obviously what he was thinking. And of course he let slip, didn't he, the great Freudian slip, when he actually said that it had never been such a comprehensive voting fraud committee ever assembled, or something to that effect. We've got someone just joined us. Yeah, hi.
Oh, hey, how you doing? It's John.
Hi, John. Have you been listening to the show?
I'd like to listen. I just tuned in.
All right,
I can come back in about 5 minutes or something, okay?
Aye, sure, John. Yeah, that'd be cool. I was just speaking about the level of fraud in the U.S. election system. It's just like, I think it's left a lot of people, you know, speechless, really, because it's just so widespread and so expansive and so determined, so desperate, really. You know, you kind of run out of expletives to describe how just utterly extreme it's all been, in all the different methods they've been using. Vote harvesting and everything. I mean, every single type of possible way of voting has been hijacked. You know, every possible way that you can vote has been, you know, hijacked on an industrial scale, I have to say.
Yeah, the masterminds, what they do is they ask the crowd. The crowd was jeering, and they said, who do we crucify, Barabbas or Christ? And they said, Christ, release Barabbas.
That's right.
And so the injustice in front of a crowd is the greatest injustice there is. It disheartens the whole crowd and puts, you know, makes black ink shoot into their heart. And with black ink in your heart, it takes a long time to get spiritually fit. So you got a bunch of people with knives out, looting and robbing each other with no honor.
Yeah.
Honor, you know. But, and then the five, you can't gather five or more in a house. They're trying to go draconian in the Midwest of a new wave. And the fraud in the election, though, that fraud, for instance, you don't have to prove. Nobody takes every single ballot, and it has to exceed the number to throw the election. You just have to prove that there's fraud. But the press is saying, oh, no, he's got to prove that it was more votes that would change the outcome. He has to come up with 10,000 proof of 10,000 fraudulent votes, which is ridiculous, because if there's fraud present, it's a Supreme Court case. And the Supreme Court case judges on, it's not the same as a criminal case. It just means that you didn't get a fair shake, so you need a new one. And if there's fraud present, period. In other words, the quantity of fraud is not the issue. The issue is that fraud was present. But the press is saying you must prove every single case, which is impossible. You know, but that's what you're saying, that they flipped justice, they flipped honor, they made fraud so widespread that we have to accept it.
Yeah. that's
and the
right.
dirty chicks. Yeah, it's so dirty.
That's right. There was actually a lawyer, you know, fighting a case, and he received. Well, he made it quite public, you know, and he actually received death threats and everything, and received death threats to his family, and he retired. He resigned from the job. He resigned from the case because it was just putting too much pressure on his family, basically. And he was onto them. He was right onto them. He had some, you know, really good solid evidence, but he had to drop the case because he was scared.
Yeah, there's a woman she didn't want to back her affidavit because she's received death threats. And so President Trump phoned her and said, do you have any more threats? And of course, he was just concerned. Well, he was politically trying to advance himself, of course, but if he didn't do that, he didn't win. So, but he called her up today, and she backed out of signing an affidavit about voter fraud, and because of threats, like you said. So it's more than one case of people that are backing out of the case. They don't want to testify for Trump because of all the violence that might, you know, sign up for violence.
That's right. That's right. It's almost like the, you know, their dirty underbelly has been exposed. And, you know, rather than just hold their hands up and say, okay, you know, fair cop, they're kind of like fighting dirty all the way. That's quite
disgusting. That's kind of how they took some rights out of the UK, is incremental, little by little. And, yeah, you know, it's like a Chinese handcuff, you know. It's hard to get out of it. For instance, when Bobby's stopped carrying pistols, you know, that's 50 years ago. But now there's no way they'll carry a pistol, hardly. Well, I don't know if they do or not, but for instance, that America has held on to its rights a little longer than Europe. Yep. But here we are. We the rights, the tyranny has taken over the freedom.
Yep.
And the flipping of justice, though, taking justice and letting somebody skate that's a figurehead above the people. Yep. And then hating. The Trump derangement syndrome is all about hating a figurehead. And I know people that are very smart, 200 IQ and all that, but they're indoctrinated liberals. I mean, you mentioned Trump, and they'll start rattling off headlines. I said, wait a minute. That's just headline news. And they say, there's no biased press. What? It's like, you know, a friend wouldn't lie to your face like that. He didn't think the press is biased. It's Trump's tweeting is the problem. I'm like, okay.
The whole press and all the media is completely sold out.
Yeah, but all over Europe, though, you got a bunch of leftist operatives, too, and it's like it's across the world that... you're a Trumper, aren't you? And well, that's people right. come out of the blue.
Absolutely. The BBC over here, the BBC is like, it's worldwide, really. It's such a big organization. But it's basically just a bunch of former private school, it's a homosexual former private school boys club. That's what it is.
They don't want anybody to gather, even the Boy Scouts.
No, that's right. And they're totally anti-Trump, though. And their news reporting is really, really biased.
I think it has a lot to do with, you know, the agenda has a five-prong mandates with them. And one of them is, in 2025, there will be 450 million jobs eliminated through AI and robotics.
Yeah.
And so as part of the fourth industrial revolution to take off, you can't have 450 million people out of work in the world. And so you have to acclimate them five years prior, which is now. And so in the next couple months, there's all hell going to break loose about they want you in a cubicle to see your performance. It's tracked on your cell phone or what kind of games you play. I think they'll take a lot of gamers and put them to work flying drones.
I've been thinking that for years. And some of these war games, the Call of Duty, for instance, it's just basically honing and training people for modern warfare.
Yeah, that's what I picked up on that years ago too. Yeah, most people I think could see that there's no way in heck I'm going to sit down and play, something that makes me, I don't know, it's just not my cup of tea, that gaming. But I went to get a phone the other day, and I said, well, I read a lot of news. He said he didn't read any of it. He said, how much data do you need? He says he does gaming. He could use 5G in an hour. And I looked at him, he's a hardcore gamer, 12 hours a day. And it didn't look like he was good for anything else except hunting over and gaming on his phone. But that's a real life, that's a 25-year-old kid that normally we could relate to each other, but he's a gamer. He ain't going to relate to nobody. He's in his own little AI world. And it further senses of isolation, the social repercussions, that societal breakdown. The heart of the problem in America is it used to be a nice place to live. And you look forward to seeing people. Now you cringe because, there'll be little brats or that, what's her name? Greta Thunberg. Thornburg.
Yeah. I know. Yeah.
Yeah, the Greta Thunberg, that's about, her mother wasn't around much, so she started to attack older people and got a big mouth on her, and don't have no brains.
Yeah, that's right. But she's got mild difficulties, doesn't she? She's on the autism spectrum, I believe.
Right. So, and that means she lacks social information. She's intelligent, but she's designed a bunch of defense mechanisms because of the way she's raised.
Yes.
And yes, I got the trauma too, But I had more action on the front line today. I went to the magistrate office to get an eviction.
All right.
And so all you get, of course, you don't have any information, so they give me a form. I said, my name won't fit in here. It's 1 centimeter long. Oh, no, we gave you the wrong form. You must have got that off the internet. I said, no, I got it from you about a month ago. Okay. And so they said, no, you must have gotten that. So no, I got it from the court. Anyway, I got the right forms. And then it has a space magistrate and a blank after it. I said, and I had to call them up and they say, leave it blank. And you have to attach 2 copies of the lease. That's brand new. And you have to, they'll email me after they serve the eviction, and then I get a Skype court date on Skype.
Yeah.
But the problem was, when I went in there, I said, I'd like to file for nonpayment. And they said, no, you have to wait till January 2nd. So right off, they tell me a lie in the magistrate court. And unfortunately, I had already known what they were going to do, lie. And so the second lady gave me some more grief. I said, no, I'll file tomorrow. I just need the form. And after a hard time, so I took it. Anyway, you can file if they don't answer with the CDC paper, you got to wait till January 2nd. So for $45, I just speed it up a little bit. You know, it's still a month-long process, but the problem, what I'm saying is that across America, there'll be, it's up to 42 million now of people that haven't been paying their rent. They'll either have to garnish the landlords or subsidize somebody, and I have a feeling, or extend the moratorium. And so the moratorium is not constitutionally valid. You can't seize people's property and let people occupy it. There's a financial loss. So that's not in the news either, and that's scarier than the election. That's why I went there. And another thing, yeah, Graham, is the daggum meat plants. I heard two more plants, big ones, Tyson Foods. But I hear them every single month of major, because of liability. And so instead of getting rid of the liability law, they closed the plant down. And so that means, and then, you know, they talk about, well, I like, what's her name? Harris. Kamala Harris said, I like an occasional cheeseburger. I just do. And so they're already talking, we're going to reduce your meat.
Reduce your meat?
Oh, yeah. That's what she said, you know. Oh, you know, that's part of the WEF plans is no more animal harvesting. Yeah. Which is probably a good thing. It's inhumane, but, I mean, I was a vegetarian a year, but I, you know, we call them poor hunters, be vegetarian.
Yeah.
I'm not against vegetarianism, and I really don't like the nasty things they do to torture animals in cages.
No.
But I, you know, but that's not the biggest issue. But the election, you know, it hinges on who runs the Senate. It's down to one vote.
Yeah.
You see, yeah, it's 50-50 now, and it'll be 51-50. They'll have the majority. But, it's 59-40. And so if they get the vote, it'll be 50-50, and then Kamala Harris, the vice president, gets to vote the final vote when it's a tie.
Yeah.
So you can bet your bippy that they'll try to steal it.
Oh, yeah.
Because they got so much money. They got so much money riding on it. Now, you know, Georgia's my town. It's 2.5 hours down the road. My cousin, I talked to him. And, of course, Alex Jones is down at the courthouse steps Wednesday with a bullhorn or whatever.
Yep.
Interviewing people. He's also turning up a lot of vodka. Alex has a tendency to get a little bit sloshed. But I hope he makes it through the election. But he's on the road, you know, Alex Jones. He has that big show.
Oh, yeah. Alex Jones gets more hits, gets more views than CNN. Did you know that?
Well, I doubt he'll work there again.
That's what
I didn't know nothing about. Oh, Alex Jones, I don't think he's ever worked at CNN. He's always talking about, you know, Bill Gates wants to inject us and...
No,
you know,
no,
stormtroopers are coming.
Yeah, no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying InfoWars, his station, InfoWars, gets more views than CNN.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I get you now. InfoWars is a great patriot that's more accurate than CNN, exactly.
Yeah.
And he had people calling up the other day saying, I never thought I'd be saying to this, but you're more accurate than we are.
Yeah.
He actually had people call him because he's been calling. He said this would happen, this civil war and unrest at the election time. But, you know, I got into that thing where, you know, Trey Gowdy served zero subpoenas while we had the House, the Senate, and the presidency. And that's called a punt and a dive. And so Ryan wouldn't give him subpoena power. And then Gowdy said that he has seen evidence that Trump has the predicate to be investigated. But that guy went to my high school. So he just lives, you know, 2 miles from my house.
Wow.
Trey Gowdy. He caused all this, really. He caused the investigations. He caused the impeachment. He caused swinging the votes for 2018 election. He caused, he clouded up Trump and served zero subpoenas. Now, when the Democrats took the House in 2018, they served over 100 subpoenas. Yeah. So we're zero subpoenas on our side, our own deep state rats. And so Trey Gowdy was part of the deep state. And every time I said it, you know, even Richard said, "John, please be quiet. You don't know what you're talking about." Yeah, I do. He sold us down the river and got away with it because he's protected by MSM.
Yeah.
And the people here don't know it. If you say Trey Gowdy's a deep state rat, they say, "You don't know what you're talking about. Don't you talk about him. He gave us our gun rights." And he also appointed somebody to take his place named Timmons. And he's in the tank, too, to do the legal reform. See, they're going to pay lawyers a lot of money. And if you do them a favor before we get rolled, you get a higher position.
Yeah.
And so if somebody gave me, offered me $20 million, I'd probably take it.
Yeah.
Especially if they had a dirty video, if they sent a sex sled over there or something, just to my house, and I fell for it, and they had me on film, I guess that's what happens. But it's awful odd, though. You see, I know people went to high school with him. I know one girl that says, she smoked crack with Trey Gowdy.
Oh.
And he got his gun stolen. Yes. He got his gun stolen, and she knows where the gun is, and it was in the paper. Yep.
Wow.
He said he got it stolen at his house. He said, no, he was over there. Anyway, when you live in a neighborhood, when you know the people that knew him, it gets weird.
I'll bet.
But I want to take care of my own turf. This is on my watch, my turf. And start there, and then but I really don't want to go to Atlanta. It's tempting to go to Atlanta to be a real protester.
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot to protest.
Well, what do you think the Georgia runoff will result in?
That's going to be interesting, yeah. That's going to be interesting. I think everything's going to, I really do think everything's going to implode. And the scale of, just the sheer deception involved here, it's just going to stagger everyone.
It is kind of good. Yeah. I guess what I'm thinking, I guess everybody else is thinking that will it be enough for people to stand up for it and fight like they mean it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the whole fabric of society is basically at stake here. This has went beyond party politics. Way beyond it.
Well, how's anybody going to form a militia if you can't gather? If you had 100 men that gathered every week, they might be able to get organized.
Yeah.
But there's no chance of any organization.
No, that's right. And I think that's part of the scam, isn't it? You can You can gather in groups of 1,000 if you want to protest, but you can't go to church.
Well, to me, it comes down to militia.
It's going that way, yeah.
Well, there's certain preparatory things that, you know, if anybody's serious about a militia, it's all preparatory.
Yep.
But the first thing you have to have, of course, the British Navy was the last to get rid of corporal punishment in the 70s, right? 1875, yeah. I believe.
Aye, that's right.
Well, in the modern military, you know, you have to spend, you get humiliated and put in the brig. That's the punishment if you don't follow an order. But in America, you tell another man what to do, and if you don't say it right, they won't do it. And they say, who are you to boss me around?
Aye, that's right.
So there won't be no militias. I tell you who does is more organized if there's 10 of them together is meth heads. You can just Google it. You'll see 10 times they've been arrested and they had, one of them had $1 million worth of automatic weapons.
Oh.
Yeah, they always find them with, rapid-fire machine guns. All of them. Meth heads, yeah.
I've heard quite a few people online speaking about militias, though, in America. You know, the time has come. Just random people online that are trying to organize, posses of people.
Yeah, but that's monitored. I mean, there's 5 key words. I mean, they could change the words, and talk in code and get an app. But there's no app that you can get or any social media that you can get that isn't fully monitored with keywords. And if you started, using Pig Latin or something, I think they used like Navajo language back in World War One and Two. They would translate messages in Navajo so the enemy couldn't pick it up.
Yeah.
But the thing is, The meth heads, it's like Mad Max was about meth heads, really. A bunch of crazy drug addicts were the ones with the machine guns and the last gasoline. They also eliminate, they make green space, and then just everybody packed into the cities.
Yeah.
So the first draconian, well, it's right around the corner because they, according to Charles Klaus Schwab, that they say 210 million people be in famine.
Yeah.
And it has the wind blowing. And so we had 2 Cat 5s this week, one in the Philippines and one in Nicaragua. And that may be why the China Sea is occupied, is they can create weather storms there.
Yeah, that's right.
They show hurricanes during the Great Reset video, and 210 million people be in famine while the weather's going crazy because of global warming.
Yeah.
We've heated up the atmosphere, and these great storms pick up energy. But if you look at HAARP in Alaska, which is near China, in Alaska, they may have it was all about radio microwaves controlling weather. 50 or 60 years of study, they shut it down and it's now owned by Anchorage University.
Yes.
But who knows? Maybe the Chinese gave him a billion. They bought Georgetown, they bought Yale, they bought Harvard, they bought, you know, all these universities are rich. They're worth billions because of Chinese buyout. I wish you'd talk about preparing for war. Maybe that's a little too heavy, but I'm getting a little bit tired of chattering about it. I could never be a Unabomber, though. Hell no. It just ain't me. I'm not psycho enough. But if I had an enemy, now if they present an enemy, people going door to door, but the lack of meat, and then robbers and looters coming over here, I guess I could just go to war with robbers and looters.
It's heading that way. It is heading that way. I think a lot of people are, you know, tired of talking about stuff. They want to start doing stuff. I think a lot of people are feeling that.
Well, you know, court case is about you show up on Skype on a cell phone. So it's the same thing that the magistrate, if you're a criminal, they'll call you up and say, get on the phone or we're coming to pick you up. And you'll answer the phone and you'll say, yes, Your Honor. You say, they'll have a trial right there. And it'll say something like, you lose your cell phone privileges. You have no digital currency until you report to here for further instructions or whatever they'll say. But it's all social credits.
Yeah.
But the thing, if they're saying no fossil fuels, I'm the guy that keeps, you know, I can keep any car going for 50 years. In other words, when I went to Europe, I didn't see any old clunkers on the road. Disposable society.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, my God, if I didn't have my old cars to fix, I don't know what I would do.
Yeah.
I said, no, anything but that.
Yeah.
They had cash for clunkers, but America's got a lot of junk riding around.
Yeah.
And so they're saying zero fossil fuel by 2025. Well, they say 2030, but they may probably eliminate cars by 2025, which means no gas.
Yeah.
And so 2025 is not that far off.
It's not, no. 4 years.
Well, they know they have to do everything 5 years in advance to acclimate us toward it. They just can't snap on a dime in 2025. It's got to be incremental changes. And the 2021, they've already said, by summer, 210 million people in famine, the migratory paths will go nuts. South America will be purging our nation just like Africa purged Europe.
Yeah.
Oh, gentlemen.
Yep. And they're trying to...
Now, I hate to interrupt, but just to remind you of the time, Graham, it seems your hour's already expired.
Okay. Okay, folks, listen, time has crept up on us again. That's an hour in already. You're welcome to join us. If you wanted to call in and never got a chance, you're welcome to join us on the round table, which is back-to-back with this show. We'll basically just continue what we're talking about on the round table. And, by all means, phone in if you like. I'll be back next Thursday with another edition of Delete the Beast. And more than welcome to join me then. But if you want to continue or participate, you're more than welcome to join us in 5 minutes' time over on the round table. So I'll say for now, good night and God bless.
Hello.
καλόν μου ευρουάτε καμιόμα κεντάλ κύρε βουρέν χατόρ μη φουά εν καβες κι αυνούγε Let's count.